And we are live. This is Dark Journalists. Oh, what a fantastic crowd we have out there in the ideas from already tonight. Of course, tonight I am joined by the lovely Olivia.
Hi, everybody.
And Olivia, is there life on Mars?
Is there now? Was there a life on Mars in the past?
Once upon a time?
Mm-hmm.
It's a good question. I guess the real question is there a secret base on Mars? Maybe we can get some answers to that tonight and how that fits into a rather big puzzle. We're going into space and politics tonight, and it's going to be a double whammy. We're going to do the special report for you, and we'll be with you here for a couple of hours. And in the second half of tonight's program, I want to remind you that we're going to be taking your questions, and Miss Olivia is putting those together right now as we speak for final election, 2024, America versus the deep state, continuity of government, Space Force COG action. How can we get all that in 2 hours? We're going to prove it. We can. Before I go any further, Miss Olivia, how are you doing out there?
Good. Dixie 504 says, very excited for this episode. Can't wait for DJ to say Stepford Biden.
Don't worry. It's coming soon for this one. I should hold it back for half the show just to keep the momentum going. It's rather interesting because, of course, Stepford Biden plays right into the picture tonight, along with President Trump and rising candidate RFK Jr., who has been putting a lot on the line. And it's very interesting the way that his candidacy is shaping up here, because I actually think that more of the independent side needs to get behind him and start to propel him, because so much of his message has been suppressed under those mainstream media models. But a lot of the things that he's putting together here, going to the heart of the matter now, and the heart of the matter, of course, is the incredible, and I mean incredible, takeover of the border. And whoever is sending in these migrants into America illegally has a purpose. And if we don't get a handle on that, then there is no country. You know, in the Constitution, it says, provide for the common defense. Well, the Stepford Biden administration is not providing for the common defense and therefore is in breach of the Constitution. But why would even they allow themselves the spectacle of 10,000 people roaring across that border every day? There's a real strange answer to that. And we're going to get into that tonight. We're going to be looking at the secret space program. We're going to be looking at the UFO file and how all these things come together in the figure of the deep state and the continuity of government program and those who are seeking to implement it as a result of the fact that they don't know what to do in relation to the 2024 election. Of course, we have in the background there Governor Newsom out of California, along with cackling Kamala. But there are some interesting things there, because I think there are signs and indications that Biden's performance on the world stage, stumbling into flags, calling people the wrong names, forgetting to shake hands, all that stuff, is just starting to show so much of it that even the Democrats are starting to say, you know, throw out old Joe. But the question is, how do they go about replacing him? And if they do desire to use Newsom,
I don't think there's a question about that.
Well, we have a double whammy, though, because Harris is also from California. So we have some questions there. And also, is that a natural fit, or is this something where Kamala kind of gets appointed to some federal court and goes off into the sunset? Or does she become a bigger player in the short term? In fact, the entire board starts to shape up rather more dramatically. If you remove Stepford Biden from the equation, you can kind of see what's going on more, rather than thinking they're going to be able to drag this out through next November. It does not look like Biden is going to make it that far. So what is their solution? We're going to get into that tonight and see how the deep state operation around emergency powers plays all into this, and the rise of these emergency powers to such a point where a large portion of government in America is being run solely on emergency powers. And so much of that had a gigantic trial run through the COVID op. And as I pointed out before, if you thought the COVID op was fun, just wait till the UFO threat op. there's a lot of people, it's very interesting. If you go into it now, people are starting to underline that UFO threat piece in a way that just wasn't happening before from different fields. As a matter of fact, not in the UFO field, because the majority of the people in the UFO field are all under the intel thumb one way or another. And they've been told, you know, this is how things are going to go. Don't worry. Books and documentaries are coming your way. Well, we don't care about books or documentaries on this show, although we'll do fine with each one. It's interesting. I want to say this also, which is we lose a lot of grasp around the actual subject of the UFO file by dealing with the false disclosure version of it. So you lose the essence of what a lot of the cases were about, what people were dealing with, because you get interference of people trying to drag a subject into their political fray. And that is the whole intel game at this point. But it's happening on such a level that it is blowing up whatever remained of that field. So when that's all done, what you'll have, either they will have hijacked it completely, and you'll just have a small group who's aware of this whole thing, or their op will fail around this. And there's a number of cascading effects that will happen as a result of that. So we'll get into that tonight, along with this tremendous clash of these deep political forces with the natural freedoms in America and around the world. You know, this is the greatest show on earth for 2024, and we're setting it up nicely. All the setup for 2024 happens in 2023. So that's where we find ourselves. Before I go any further, Miss Olivia, you're up.
Unknown Sources says, Dark Journalist, have you got a spreadsheet linking all the dirty players' connections?
It's in here. No, I have so much, you know, as you know, I print everything out because there's only so much you can do digitally. So, you know, at this point, I'm just swimming in tons of boxes of things that are cross-referenced. But what's very interesting to do is to take years and to see what certain people were doing in certain years. And you can find out so much about how the deep state operates that when we go into historical aspects, you're going to find very crucial years are setups to the actual years. So for example, the year before Watergate, 1973, it's a very interesting and important year. The year before the Kennedy assassination, 1962, there's a whole series of things that take place. You know, if you go back to 85, before Iran-Contra, you've got Reagan and Gorbachev getting together and getting rid of the whole nuclear weapons idea, talking about zero option and things like that. And then, so if you can, one sort of suggestion in terms of interpretation of data, when you're surrounded by so much of this stuff, is to take things in by year and see which years really play into it. You know, it reminds me about this conversation that Reagan had with Gorbachev when they asked Gorbachev later what was the turning point for all of their nuclear reduction talks. And they really got incredible things accomplished and that nobody thought they could do because Reagan was supposed to be such a hawk and, you know, the Russians were supposed to be hardcore. But they negotiated the first straight up reductions in large missiles. And what's fascinating is Gorbachev said it happened at Reykjavik. Reykjavik is remembered as this incredible failure of a conference. And that whole summit, when they got together, they didn't agree on anything and they came out with nothing, because in order to negotiate reductions down to nothing, which is what they were talking about, that is removing every nuclear weapon from the face of the planet. Obviously, they had other technologies in mind. But they actually, Gorbachev put it to Reagan, all you need to do is get rid of Star Wars SDI, the Strategic Defense Initiative, which is this thing we were supposed to put in space that was going to blast missiles from outer space. You know, so if anyone was aiming a ICBM at us, zap. But this is a very interesting project because, in fact, it looks like SDI went forward in any case, but Reagan couldn't give it up in that particular instance. And they also talked about the UFO file in that meeting. So a lot of things took place. But significantly, if you look at the years that that takes place versus when they actually did the major agreements, they're off. So the things that happen very often happen when nobody's looking. And that's a key aspect. I think when you get into this kind of dark journalism, you're going to look for what certain people were doing in certain setup years. I think that gets us a lot of answers. Here's an interesting one, which we'll start off with, which is this whole thing about the missing F-35 plane that was going on. Now, the actual story, the way that it's told, is a complete falsehood. So then we have to ask ourselves the question, why? I'm going to give you a little history on this. The traditional story here, first of all, it's a $100 million plane, one single plane. It's the top of the top of what we have to offer. And, you know, at a certain point, President Trump, when he was president, was going out and saying the F-35 is absolutely invisible. It uses invisibility technology. And not only did his own Pentagon freak out as a result of him saying this, but of course the media had to make fun of him saying it. You know, this is Trump after all. Braggadocio. But if you think about Trump and you think about him wanting to brag about what he has, then it makes a lot of sense. But here was what he had to say. Now, the recent incident, of course, is where this F-35 just disappeared. The pilot jettisoned and nobody could find it. And there was this whole, let's chase around the internet looking for this F-35. It's a complete falsehood put out by the media. But why? They did find it eventually in South Carolina, which is exactly where we shot down the Chinese balloon earlier this year. Something about that South Carolina tie-in is going to make sense here. But let's go back. 2019, Trump hails invisible plane in remarks to Coast Guard. The enemy cannot see it. Discussing the Air Force when speaking to a different service, President again praises the F-35, which is not invisible and has faced a costly development process. Donald Trump returned to a favorite subject on Thursday, telling U.S. Coast Guard group that the F-35 is an invisible plane. That's the story. There were a series of them all around the F-35 and Trump saying invisibility. Well, Project Invisibility, of course, goes back to Einstein. It goes back to the Philadelphia experiment. And we achieved it at great cost, is the general understanding. That also takes us into the black projects of Thomas Townsend Brown, which we've covered in this program extensively. So, now, if we go back, though, before this other version, right around the time that Trump was making these remarks, and we start to think about what was going on here with this plane, there was, in fact, an incident in 2019 where another F-35 disappeared. And again, the story doesn't hold up. Because of the type of technology that it has, there's no way someone can lose it, and I'm going to show you how. Here's what Japan says happened to the F-35 that mysteriously disappeared in the Pacific. That's 2019, that story. That's not 2023. So this new story has a predecessor, which you don't hear about in all the coverage on CNN or NBC or wherever it happens to be. Now, the person who was flying this plane, incredible plane, which carries some of that X technology, says, oh, I don't know where the plane is. I ejected. That was the official story for this thing. And again, people were looking for this everywhere. Oh, have you seen the plane? Well, if you study NORAD at all, just like the Chinese balloon, there's no way for them to lose track of these things. The system that was put in place and created was created originally to be an offset to the Soviet Union firing a first strike at the United States. The Soviet Union fell in 1991. This is 30 some odd years later. You know, they had the technology then. There's no reason they would have removed it. They're dramatically better than they ever were. Therefore, the whole Chinese balloon scam, that we didn't see it and all that stuff. And we're going to get into some weird remarks from Mark Milley tonight, also the Joint Chiefs General. Okay, this is how they track things over at NORAD. This is one station. And that's how they see the United States. When an F-35 shows up on that board, because it's so highly advanced, again, $100 million per plane, it has a very special signature that NORAD or any other air defense that we have can't miss. So they knew exactly where it was, and they knew where it crashed, and there was no missing plane. So now we have to ask ourselves, what was that all about? And it gets very interesting because when you get into this year as a setup year, then what you're going to find is that everything has to do with some strange thing around the immediate atmosphere and airwaves above us. So all the weird interloping Chinese balloon stuff, it's never happened before. It happened during World War II that we got these Japanese bombs that would, they'd float across, and actually some of them exploded in places like Oregon. And they developed an entire policy based on that to immediately disable anything near our atmosphere. That was back then. That's World War II. So the reason I kind of stress this is because the continuity of government NORTHCOM general Van Herk, who commanded all of these things, like the shoot downs of the balloons and the UFO and all that stuff, made a lot of really weird comments while he was doing that. And usually what they do is they have guys like that in very secret, you know, they're the guys who control the bunkers, Mount Weather and all the rest. They have them in very secret. They don't have them give out and giving interviews and things like that. That started just with his predecessor. Before that, you never heard of these guys. But out of the blue, we have this guy talking and talking up quite a game. Now, the question is, what was going on then that is related to what's going on now? And for that, I find a rescued article from Popular Mechanics, which has been kind of lost here to history, but it's very crucial. And it gets us into Trump and the UFO file. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. This is Final Election 2024, America versus the Deep State, Continuity of Government. And that is the Space Force COG action. We're getting into this tonight, and we're going to be taking your questions. We'll go about another hour and a half here tonight. And of course, we have a lot of shows coming up for you in October. I want to mention we're calling October Mystery Month. Mm-hmm. That's what we decided. And there's going to be a series of some real hardcore mystery school shows coming up that are related to so much of what's happening. But while we can, you know, take that glimpse of all this stuff before the full election kicks in, we're going to do that for October. And then I wanted to also mention that we just finished three JFK episodes, one with the Secret Service agent and a whole exploration around this guy who came forward and basically debunked the magic bullet. Paul Landis, the Secret Service agent at 88 years old, going around and making the rounds. And also a court case that is pending for this case about people looking for records from the CIA about Dram, who was a Nazi assassin the CIA recruited and just happened to be over here in Dallas, the guest of the person who owned the Texas School Book Depository, D.H. Byrd. So those three episodes we just did, and we're going to return to the JFK theme closer to the 60th anniversary that's coming up, and we'll do a follow-up on all that. But you're a lot of enthusiasm for those episodes, so I appreciate all the feedback. Before I go any further, Miss Olivia, what do you got?
DJ Beto says, the F-35 is a very networked plane, thus can be hacked. Think electronic warfare. You can lose targets.
Well, that's true. And that that could be one of the reasons why they were doing this phony, you know, like, hey, let's hunt for the F-35. But it's such a high-end piece of equipment. And, you know, there's also a weird correlation with that happening just before Zelensky gets here. And then there's a whole thing. I have a series of articles tonight relating to Zelensky and how we're funding him and how the Congress now has said, whoa, we're putting the brakes on the funding, and how instantly the Biden administration went around that and ordered the Secretary of State to open up our treasury for this guy. Something very weird, like beyond, you know, it's so corrupt in your face that it's getting to such a weird point in relation to Ukraine and the things that Biden is doing. But one thing that came out of this, and, you know, people go back and forth on the leadership of the Republican Congress at this point, but I will say this, the fact that they did not give Zelensky the audience to address Congress, I think is very positive, because we've had enough of that. And whatever game is being played over there, you know, the real stats that are coming out, and I'm getting all kinds of reports about it, have the Russians with like a 6-to-1 kill ratio in that war and over 700,000 people dead. So, you know, whatever game that the globalists are playing on that and the defense contractors are bringing in, and whatever favors that Stepford Biden and the Obama shadow regime are getting out of that, you know, it's got to be exposed. And I think finally, with the admission by Poland that they don't want to be a target, so they're not shipping arms anymore to Ukraine, is so significant, because Poland being right in the heart of NATO and the center of all these different wars, they're starting to stand up and realize this is a lost cause. And Zelensky, you know, when he went to meet the Senate majority leader and all that stuff, had the gall to do these interviews afterwards saying that, you know, his counteroffensive was going great and Russia was on the run and all that. They're getting demolished over there. And the only reason that they're even in it is because of American hardware. And it's putting us at great risk, and it is decimating Ukraine. So whatever the globalists are up to is the same scorched earth policy they tried to bring into Syria. And it's very significant when you get around this, because I think the Zelensky timing with this F-35 is going to play out, because there's so much about the defense contracting aspect in relation to what was happening there. Let me see if I can back some of that up. I'm going to switch gears for a second and go into some of this emergency powers aspect. You've heard me talk about that. And basically, the formula works something like this. So the Justin Trudeau's of the world, the Stepford Bidens, and that ilk realize that they don't have popular majorities. So they don't have the kind of majority that you can win real elections with and then govern with. You know, Trudeau's government has a 27% approval rating, and that's probably exaggerated. And he gets in the way that they do things and how he gets to be prime minister is that he just needs the scant support. So he doesn't have a lot of support. In America, we also have, you know, this whole thing about mail-in ballots and all the chicanery that took place last time. But what you realize with emergency powers, they're starting to realize the only way that they can accomplish their goals is by going to the emergency powers playbook. And it's interesting, because what you have is the Constitution hanging in the balance of this. There's nowhere in the Constitution that says, suspend me if things get tough. I mean, they were facing off against the British, you know, so there's no suspension of the Constitution. And on our side, there's no suspension of the Constitution. Interestingly enough, one of the figures in this Election 24 setup being Gavin Newsom, he was the one who said, I can call martial law during the whole COVID op, which is, of course, not true. The governor actually has very limited ability. He can call an emergency. But the actual, you know, this whole thing he was trying to do, making laws and mandates and all that stuff, that's all legislature work. So they can't do it. Just like we saw Macron in France just say, you know what, I'm, you know, I'm changing the age, the retirement age, and I can't get it done through the legislature. So it's an emergency. I'm going to do it. It's a series of articles around liberal media right now, which is really pushing this idea of doing it. And they want to basically accomplish everything through the emergency powers. Now, the emergency powers, the ultimate button in the kind of storehouse of emergency powers is the continuity of government program. But we're going to see how they're feeding this in one piece at a time. So here's one that's been floating around. And I actually saw this floated first through the New York Times, but it comes from Reckon Media here. And it says, can Biden call a climate emergency to pause student loan payments? So here you're connecting the idea of like, oh, you know, like emergency stuff is good because there's a climate emergency and that cancels out the student debt. Well, there's no doubt that a lot of people got rolled in terms of the student debt program. It was very much like the subprime mortgage program. It was set up to put them in a debt trap. But nonetheless, you know, they've been involved in being in that debt trap. So what the politicians are doing now are using illegal means to try to entice them vote-wise, but also get them to sign on to an agenda. For example, all your student loan debt gets canceled as long as you go along with the climate emergency idea. And you're going to see a lot of this going on. There's a lot of warnings going through a series of headlines and stories, Homeland Security and otherwise, saying if we don't have emergency powers, we won't be able to stop Demdare terrorists from coming in. You know, at the same time, they open the border wide open, and then Homeland Security Director Mayorkas stands there and says the border is secure. So, it, you know, I mean, anyone can see it. There's all these films, and I have some pictures of that tonight.
Let me ask you a question. So they're actually using the term emergency powers?
Yeah, throughout, this is the interesting thing.
And what kind of emergency powers are they asking for that they don't already have?
Oh, everything. For example, the case in New Mexico I'm about to get into here. You know, first of all, when you have to observe the Constitution, you're under all kinds of constraints. You have a legislature to deal with. You have all kinds of things. When you call an emergency, you know, you basically become a supra state. And especially in the case of continuity of government program, you suspend traditional elections and traditional Democratic Republic values, and you arrange, now the NORTHCOM commander becomes the combatant commander of the United States, and he arranges for regional governors to take over territories, and that's what each, so you know, the East Coast has a certain regional governor, and he takes over, and the goal there supposedly is post-emergency, we'll have a new election, don't worry about it. Yeah. How'd you like to wait around for that one while the COG commander is saying, well, we have to ration food over there in the East. Sorry about that. But it goes pretty deep about that program. And I think that they want to utilize it. In other words, it's interesting because they want to bring in the powers of martial law. They might want to execute martial law only in the most extreme circumstances, but I'll show you how. Here's one. Governor Maura Healey. Now, we have this hardcore liberal setup in America, in Massachusetts right now, here. And we've got Maura Healey as the governor, and Janet Wu is the mayor. And Janet Wu is famously got caught with an enemies list her first 6 months into being the mayor. But this is getting very hardcore. But what it says is... Governor Maura Healey declares a state of emergency and asks for federal assistance with the housing wave of migrants. And this is how they're using it here. Is Massachusetts becoming the state of emergency? Well, what they did was a small-scale version in Massachusetts of what they did in New York. So they overran New York with all these people who were coming across the border. But those people were being organized across the border. It wasn't like, oh, there were some desperate people coming to the border. Now, this is part of the operation in the media around this. Part of it is that, you know, naturally, being a nation of immigrants, we welcome immigrants from everywhere around the entire globe in America. But there's a process for it. And as a matter of fact, the process has been so out of control. One of the things they did, if you go back and seek this out, in 1924, they called a moratorium on all immigration because they were having all sorts of problems about these cultures blending. And that moratorium was enforced from 1924 to 1965. And, you know, post-World War II and everything like that, we had this incredible period of expansion and became basically the leaders of the world. And then in 1965, they were like, hey, you know, we can go back to doing this. So the idea that everything is supposed to be wide open all the time, nonstop, is insanity. And of course, if you are on the Democrat side, like the Biden administration, what you're trying to do is create a sense of chaos and flood these places out. And also, when you're taking in this immigration wave, what you're doing is creating a mass that is totally dependent upon the state. And so this favors Democrat government. And what you also do is strain the system to such a point that it collapses and you're able to introduce this digital currency and centralization of the financial system. There are more agendas involved with that, but let's just start with those layers. So now, Whitmer, who's been talked about as a financial as a presidential or vice presidential candidate. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who I call the Fonz, affectionately of Michigan, because she loves to wear them leather jackets. So Whitmer abuse of emergency powers is deja vu all over again. This is just an article from 2 days ago. So she famously, during the COVID op, came forward and made all these adjustments saying, you can't buy seeds. You can't go, you know, she was hardcore. She up there with Newsom was one of the most hardcore. And then in order to rehabilitate her image, the FBI created a scenario where, you know, these yahoos out in the boonies decided we're going to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer. Well, it turns out that all the people who were supposedly involved with that were let go because it turned out it was just a agent provocateur situation with these FBI people going in there and creating the idea in these people's minds, hey, you really should do this. You should kidnap the governor. That will make you important. And if you go through the court cases around the whole Whitmer kidnapping and what the FBI did, they actually had some of their agents sleeping with the people that they were trying to manipulate into doing this. Think about that. Those are the type of dastardly tactics that this group will use. Well, those people were released because of this whole thing. But so let's fast forward now. So Whitmer went ahead and did that. She won her election. She got back in. And now she's, you know, taking what are legitimate, these, you know, weather crises, whatever that's happening, and she's using the emergency powers. So what they're doing is they're opening up a channel that, you know, it became obvious during the COVID crisis that, oh, you know, they were kept opening up more and more emergency powers for themselves, and they had the best reason in the world. And so now she's utilizing that again, and she's pointing to these legitimate things, saying like, well, we're having forest fires or whatever it happens to be. Let's follow this trend a little bit further along. A blatantly unconstitutional gun edict highlights the hazards of emergency powers. This is New Mexico Governor Grisham, and we all know about that. This happened a couple of weeks ago where she said, you know what, as part of our health emergency, you can't carry your guns anymore. Now, you know, there may be a gun crisis or whatever is happening in certain places in New Mexico, you know, whatever the case happens to be, but she doesn't have any right to do any of that. She can go before legislature and they can make a law and then she can sign the law, yes, but she can't just say this is a health edict because guns are unhealthy. That's what happened there. This is how emergency powers, it's all of the trial balloons, shall we say. Now, if you just move that needle up a little bit from Michigan and New Mexico and California and bring it into Canada, you'll find there's all kinds of moves in Canada to expand the powers, the emergency powers that Justin Trudeau used earlier in 2022. When he had the whole trucker crisis and all the rest of it. So, you know, in that case, he was able to roll tanks and get rid of all these people who were protesting his terrible policies about forced, you know, the whole thing that they had going on with the mandates. Now, this story just came out 2 weeks ago. Feds in Canada still considering whether Imperfect Emergencies Act needs an upgrade. More power, more centralization on the emergency side. In 6 months progress report, LeBlanc says government's still reviewing most of the recommendations. And here they have this picture of like, you know, oh, look, these yahoos are out there and we have those tough cops behind ready to get rid of them. And this is a theme over and over again. It's the Canadian MAGA, right? You know, oh, they don't have any rights because they don't think the same way that we do. Absolutely ridiculous. And you know, one of the key things that Trudeau said when he was going through this and trying to whip up support for himself, made himself look like even more of an idiot, if that's possible, is Trudeau said, we have no room for these people. And he was talking about the people who are objecting to the COVID mandates. And he said, well, here's what's going on. You know, these people, they're misogynists. You know, they hate homosexuals, all this stuff, which had nothing to do with anything. They were just, they had developed this narrative and they wanted to see if WEF boy could pull it off. Didn't happen. And there was a big backlash from that. Barely, And I mean, barely, he was able to hang on to power. And now he's back at it again. So when they were talking about, hey, we're going to, you know, stiff in Congress here, all these expenditure bills going on, Ukraine and all this other stuff, this weird thing came out of Homeland Security. And all these, you know, publications like New York Times, Washington Post, Axios, all these kind of liberal stuff came out and they said, Homeland Security at risk of losing key powers to protect U.S. And they have this picture of Mayorkas standing there with Biden, who doesn't know where he is. So this is the theme that they're using over and over again, which is the emergency powers and Homeland Security. And they can't protect you unless you give them full emergency powers and all the funding and the Ukraine funding and all the rest of it. So any significant pushback against this policy is supposed to have political consequences. And ultimately, if you're putting in all of these illegal immigrants, a lot of them are coming in, are being sent in. And so you have their terrorist cells, you could pull off something. And then you'll say, oh my God, you opposed Ukrainian funding. And now we've had a Russian, you know, false flag in one of our own cities. So this is the nature of what they're setting up, because they don't have the ability to win an election straight out. If you looked at any of the polling data, Stepford Biden is failing very badly in the background. And Trump, who's been indicted four times now, is stronger than ever. That tells us a great deal about how desperate the deep state is and why they are throwing open the gates of the border at this point. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show, final election 2024, America versus the deep state, continuity of government, COG and the Space Force. We're going to be taking your questions in part two of tonight's program, probably in about 40 minutes or so here. And before I go any further, Miss Olivia, you're up.
Whiskey Peddler says, quote, emergencies have always been the pretext on which the safeguards of liberty have been eroded. F.A. Hayek.
Oh, that's interesting. It's absolutely true. If you look, if you go back to the Nazi regime, in fact, the Nazis tried to consolidate power over and over again and couldn't achieve it. And it wasn't until the Reichstag fire and the Enabling Act that came out of that, because the whole idea is that basically they burned the chancellery. And, you know, in our case, it would be like, oh my God, you know, the J6 thing, they set it on fire. And what they were able to do with the Enabling Act was give Hitler all of these powers in order to control the crisis. So he got the ultimate emergency powers package. And then he just never gave any of the powers back.
They never do.
No, it's a very simple formula. And over and over again, you know, if you go through history, you find there's always a false flag. And then there's a strange emergency power justification that comes out of it. And then the wars happen. And basically, that central banking warfare system moves forward just fine. The arms dealers do just fine. And, you know, we lose so much of civilization, we lose so much of the population, et cetera. So there's a very definite historical pattern. The danger around emergency powers now is the exploitation of the emergency powers. So, for example, in 9/11, we saw the militarization of our American society and then society around the world. We were leading the world in this process. And that's where you got, you know, all of this, you know, you can't go through, you have TSA dealing with you at the airport, people reporting on other people, you know, they actually rounded up a series of Muslim citizens illegally. And all you have to do to get a glimpse of what the Stepford Biden regime wants to do with the domestic terrorism bill, which Mayorkas is behind, along with the FBI director, is take a glimpse at how they dealt with this whole thing around Al-Qaeda and creating the threat piece to get more and more centralization of power, to put people in databases, you know, warrantless wiretapping, all the stuff that we got out of the Patriot Act. Now, it's funny because tonight, as you know, usual, I keep a very close eye on the UFO file. We're going to talk about Grush later and some of the weird things in that story collapsing more and more as it's being more and more pumped up. But Grush, the UFO whistleblower, remember his lawyer and legal counsel who was present behind him the whole time at the hearings was the architect, one of the main architects of the Patriot Act, and someone else who helped create Homeland Security. So when you're looking for that overlap between what we talk about here on this program with the UFO file and the UFO threat op, and then you're seeing the person who's bringing forward all these wild stories, but I know where dead aliens are in the government. Mm-hmm. And you see that his lawyer is Charles McCullough III, who is, you know, he's just on record in his own bio. He talks about having been a part of drafting the Patriot Act. And, you know, so these are the people that you're dealing with. They're the same people who gave us that centralization. And the idea that they would give you anything even close to the truth in relation to the UFO file is absolutely ridiculous. I want to remind you before we go any further tonight to go to darkjournalist.com and sign up for our newsletter. That's a free newsletter, but it keeps us in touch and getting around the mountain of censorship that we've been seeing, especially when we get into these very deep topics. And it's actually quite remarkable. I've had, you know, because I have a background on the tech side, I've had real tech people look into it. And they say some very interesting things about how the information is suppressed that we put out. But nonetheless, we go through, you know, what we go through. And the best way to stay in touch with us is sign up for that newsletter. It takes 30 seconds at darkjournalist.com, but it lets you know every Friday what incredible shows we have coming up for you. The X series, incredible interviews, documentaries, events, it's all there at your fingertips. So make sure you go stand up and be counted and go directly to sign up for that newsletter. Now, the other thing I want to mention is just speaking about censorship in general. You're hearing a lot of stories like it's coming out, just what they do to target people and the censorship and the suppression. There's no way to hide that 800-pound gorilla. But what I'm seeing is that even in the kind of head fake situations of Twitter and Musk and things like that, saying that we're, you know, we're more open to free speech and all the rest of it. Even with those, which are serious astroturfing, in my opinion, those people appear to be getting into the crosshairs, that they're not basically co-opting the space as fast, as quickly, or consolidating as much as you know, some of those centralizer groups wanted. So I think you're seeing people, you know, you're seeing some real open warfare starting to develop inside of this corporate state structure. And you know, as we go along here, it's going to be interesting to see who ends up on what side. But you know, I've never been one to say that Musk was any kind of freedom fighter or anything like that, because you know, there's a lot of things that he's involved with around AI and Neuralink and all that, that have nothing to do with freedom. You know, it's bringing in that transhumanist agenda, which is a big piece of what we're looking at in 2024. But nonetheless, even being the representative of any kind, you know, because certainly Twitter is more free than it was. There's no question about that. And they've let people come back on, as we know. But you know, it's all under the pretext of developing this X Everything app. So when we see that coming forward, as we've talked a lot about X Steganography on this program, there's consolidation of these levels. And if somebody doesn't play along at that level, then there's going to be consolidation. And you might find yourself, you know, they could find themselves, whether even if they're a Musk or Zuckerberg or whoever, they could find themselves dethroned in favor of someone who's even worse, believe it or not. Before we go any further, Miss Olivia, you're up.
Sorry, I'm giving a troll the boot. I do have a question for you. JD says, big question for DJ. How does FEMA and COG differ from taking power?
FEMA just came around in the Carter administration. It actually didn't get started until 1979. COG, in fact, the first documents that deal with COG have to do when we got our atomic bomb program. And in earnest, the idea was, where do we put all the underground stuff so we can do testing and have these scientists in certain places And so it came out in the Truman and in the Eisenhower administrations that they wanted the ability to create this gigantic underground infrastructure without the direct oversight and rancor in Congress. So they granted amazing powers to the ability to do this by putting it under super secret headings like the atomic bomb, etc. The UFO file, by the way, according to physicist Robert Sarbarker, is listed above the secrecy level of the atomic bomb. Think about that. So when we think of it that way, this whole infrastructure grew up and continued to grow up throughout the 50s because it had a perfect right to exist given the nuclear tensions at the time. But people have looked into it deeply, and you know, I quote them extensively on this program, like Professor Scott, the Berkeley professor who's written so much about the deep state. That work stands out there in this remarkable fashion because nobody has really gone that deep on what this program is. But one of the things that he was able to do was in diving in to that government structure, he was saying, we understand what this organization does, even, you know, like FBI, CIA, there are all these trap doors inside. But when you came around COG, nobody had a clue. And yet it was hanging out there. You know, it had this direct, gigantic impact. And it was a program that was worked on extensively during the Reagan administration. But the changes that came about in 1988 changed the complexion of that program. And the key change was, instead of just being an emergency management for a nuclear disaster, they became a management, a protocol for the country under any emergency. So when FEMA came in, it was largely to address things like earthquakes, floods, and all the rest of it. And then you saw, you know, they got abused. The rights got abused. But COG is so much more secret than FEMA. And, it operates in this total secrecy. And what happened when you got to 9/11 is it was exercised during 9/11. And then what we got out of it was the creation of NORTHCOM. So NORTHCOM didn't exist, but now NORTHCOM technically is in charge of the United States. We never had any kind of, we used to be, you know, if anything, our law system gave police authority in emergency situations. We never had a military group. There was a huge, gigantic, in this type of system of a constitutional republic, you know, the idea that the military could ever run you, you know, the military is always under civilian control. And that comes directly out of the founding fathers and everything else. So when you get into what happens with NORTHCOM, 9/11, Homeland Security, and all the rest of it, it's interesting because NORTHCOM suddenly becomes the key to continuity of government. They say, well, there's a combatant commander. He's the guy who heads up NORTHCOM. And we're going to twin his identity and make him the head of NORAD as well. So this is the nature of what we're swimming in. It's too much of a consolidation of military power and oversight in a secret group. And what happens when they install somebody into that position is they actually head up three things. They head up NORAD, they head up NORTHCOM, and they become the combatant commander in the continuity of government. So the way that they train those people, it's very interesting. If you go into it even a half inch deep, is they have to think and consider that they are rebuilding civilization, that civilization has been destroyed and they are the ones. So whenever you're looking at a COG commander, you're looking at somebody who's been trained, I'm going to be, you know, basically determining the entire ecosystem of humanity. So,
it's a weird fantasy.
It is. Yeah. And this is the nature of their training, if you think about it. But we've had weird things.
It's almost like a LARP.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, when you think about the whole thing of surviving a nuclear event and all the rest of it, in 1964, it's interesting because the movie that came out 7 days in May had a COG commander played by Burt Lancaster. And it was Kennedy who was behind pushing the movie and gave them carte blanche to film at the White House. He said, people have to know what's at stake in this country and what how things really go. And you know, the main tension in that whole thing was the COG commander, who was based in Roswell in the movie on the map, having this back and forth with the president and planning to create an action that disabled the executive and take emergency powers. So it's in there. It's in our, if we awaken to it, we can see it's throughout our media. It's throughout our history. These things have happened over and over again. And, you know, you can imagine in World War II, for example, they had much more camaraderie about it, you know, so they were under certain types of emergency circumstances. So they do different things together, food drives and all the rest of it. This is a very different culture that we've got here now. And the abuse of the emergency powers is completely off the charts, but it's crucial if we're going to understand what's going, if we go into 2024, if we have the emergency powers as kind of the filter, we're going to get a much better handle on all this. What else you got?
Ratboy Genius says, I'm not sure the government is out of control. I think the problem is we don't actually have a government, just puppets and actors feeding us theater as a cover for the real power. This is something people are waking up to.
There's no question about it. What's weird is you do get good people in government. You know, they find themselves hamstrung. You know, look at the Kennedys.
They're shocked.
Yeah. I think about the Kennedys dealing with the CIA. You know, he was shocked. If you go in and read accounts by Arthur Schlesinger and other people who were aides to Kennedy, he was so knowledgeable. He knew so many things. He had the background of his dad. He'd been in the Senate. And but he, as president, could not believe the power that the CIA was exercising in 1960. So think about the 60 years since and all the power they've been able to accumulate with very little, you know, once in a while, an inconvenient investigation. But basically, you know, this centralization of power. And a lot of the problem with the CIA and with the intelligence community in general is that it's too connected to the international finance world and the legal system that it comes out of. It's not that military entity that it should be. And that's what it was designed for, to give intelligence to the president so he could make decisions militarily and economically and otherwise. Instead, it became, you know, a tool for a lot of these forces. And so I think that's a kind of the right way to look at it. Let's do a little bit of the weird things that have been coming up here. And we'll get more of this in. Let's say we'll start taking questions in about 20 minutes. How does that grab you?
Sounds good.
All right. You're watching the Dark Journalist Show, everyone. And this is Final Election 2024. America versus the deep state, continuity of government, Space Force, and the COG program. We're going to be taking your questions there. You can ask Miss Olivia now, and she's putting them together, as you can see. I'm going to try to drill down a number of these things. And remember always the crisscross is, how does the emergency powers, the UFO file, and space aspects have anything to do with election 2024? Keep going back to that. In our minds. And so, yeah, we look at economic conditions, you know, you look at the border and everything else, but how does the space part relate to what's going on the ground? That's going to be rather fascinating. All right, here's some weirdness. There's no other way to put it. Now, General Milley is stepping down, I think, in 2 weeks. I mentioned that the COG commander was supposed to switch out, but it's been held up by Senator Tuberville in Alabama. That's pretty interesting. But for now, General Milley stepping down, and on his way out, what does he say? Chinese spy balloon wasn't spying. This is very weird commentary from Milley about the spy balloon. He wants to go back on this story, and he wants to say the Chinese weren't spying. So you have this incredibly well-equipped balloon. It's allowed to drift across the United States. And then by the time it gets to South Carolina, they shoot it down off the coast. But still, there's this retroactive thing about they weren't spying. Then we got a series of other ones, and there was the whole UFO shoot down thing. And we had very odd comments from people involved in the highest possible positions in that space infrastructure. Let's look at some of the weirder ones. Now, General Chance Saltzman. This guy has an interesting history because, again, there's that footprint of the UFO file and nukes when we get around him, because he spent a decade at Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana. And he made some headlines because Space Force boss acknowledges the U.S. will begin facing threats outside of Earth.
When did he say that?
Now, this happened just around the time of the Grush hearings.
How did we miss this?
No, it came. It's rather interesting. There's a whole sort of thread that goes on there. But here's how it plays out in 60 seconds or less. There's a meeting of every major intelligence official, and it takes place at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. And that is UFO Central. It always has been. And we've been tipped off by a number of politicians and retired military and a whole swath of people who, little by little, it came out. Everything goes to Wright-Patterson. And out of nowhere, on Hitler's birthday, they all decided we're going then. It was covered, you know, everywhere in the media, especially in the local media in Ohio. And nobody knew what it was all about. And they said, oh, it's to deal with all the major things that are going on, you know, the major new threats that are happening. All right. So he says, they're like, this is definitely not a conspiracy theory. Space Force confirmed a chilling fear in the U.S. government. Okay, now Saltzman has that weird UFO file connection. The person I talk about extensively on this program is the COG commander, and that is General Van Herk. And I mentioned that he comes directly out of the 509th, which is the same squadron that found the Roswell wreckage in the first place. So in the two key space positions and the COG position, you have people with a really strong alien UFO story connection. But let's keep going. Now, there's a whole thing about these eclipses that are coming up, and then these very important eclipses coming up next year. But there's a series of stories I'm seeing in all kinds of science journals, in the New York Times, local news, and it says, don't panic if you see balloons hovering during America's two upcoming solar eclipses. It's probably just the National Eclipse Ballooning Project, live streaming and doing science above 99% of the atmosphere. And the first one is Saturday, October 14th. But I'm putting a weird crisscross in these because suddenly they want to talk about balloons and how don't worry about those balloons and all the rest of it. Now, we're going to rewind. We're going to take this year back to how the year started out, which was with all of the strange balloon activity. And then the New York Times running headlines like UFO shootdown by COG commander. I mean, you know, it was like the X series as the New York Times. Okay. Breaking defense. Eyeing Russia and China. NORTHCOM head, our friend General Van Herk, frets over U.S. ability to respond to Arctic threats. After the White House released strategy for the far north, Van Herk, commander of NORTHCOM, NORAD, said the U.S. isn't organized, trained, and equipped to operate there quickly. And so he gave this big speech about it. Now, there's a lot of weird things that were set up in the Arctic under his very brief watch. And he's still, as I said, even though he announced, oh, I'm retiring out of nowhere, and we're waiting for General Gillett to take over, but he can't be confirmed, and they're holding him maybe indefinitely along with 300 other Biden military officers who can't be signed in because of Tuberville's very interesting interference. And Tuberville is doing this. I think that what's really going on, even though there's a lot of superficial explanations about these 300 officers who can't be sworn in, including the new COG commander, I think the reason that they're doing this is they realize that this is a very weak administration that only the media is holding together. And they don't want them to install all of their military officials if they can help it. They just want to wait till they get to 2024, get a new president in, and forget about having this new COG commander and all the rest of it. Now, famously, back in February, Van Herk said, I'm not ruling out that with the UFO shoot down that it was aliens we were shooting at. Now, this is such a, first of all, let's remember what the COG commander is. He's the combatant commander of the United States in the event of an emergency. And here he's using the word aliens. He's using the terms shoot down of UFOs. And that spirals all over the globe. You know, it's all these headlines and all the rest of it. So he was everywhere. And basically, Van Herk became the picture of who was in charge of the United States. This was under those situations where we had these things kind of strolling across the skies. It's very important because as we get into next year, so much of what they need to do involving a UFO threat, involving some panic from space, involving the power and the emergency powers coming from the COG program, they need a threat. And so the only question that's coming around from this is, what is the nature of the threat? And with all the activity around the UFO file, I'll go back to it over and over again as one of their key pieces in all of this. But then also remember the strangeness around the F-35, the advanced tech, and Trump's comments about it being invisible. There's almost the possibility that you have technology out there that someone is trying to goad us into using. For example, if we really have stealth aircraft that can go invisible, they want to be able to see what that is, to rank it against their own powers. Or they're starting to roll out some of this breakaway technology, and you're going to be seeing it. These other countries are going to notice it, and so therefore they have to come up with some type of excuse of how we got to this level, you know, with nothing on the public side, you know, no moonshot, no including the public, and we're going to the moon or whatever. They just developed this stuff totally in secret. All right, so let's rewind the clock again back to this Popular Mechanics article, which I think was really largely missed at the time, but includes all the elements that I'm setting up here for 2024. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I'm getting exhausted.
All right, here we go. Now, Trump acknowledges UFOs threatens aliens with military action. This is Popular Mechanics in 2020. And here goes the article. By the way, Trump, the way that they're portraying this is absurd, but they are goading him into this, interestingly enough. And the article's from October 14th, 2020, and October 14th is the date that just came up for the eclipse coming up. Earlier this week, Fox News anchor Maria Bartiromo asked President Donald Trump about the Pentagon's new UFO task force. Trump promised to look into the government's UFO program. The president also answered with a vague, somewhat threatening speech about the power of the U.S. military. President Donald Trump, when asked about a Pentagon task force for studying UFOs, replied that he would look into it and then began boasting about the power of the U.S. military. Some observers saw this as Trump touting his funding for the Department of Defense, while others saw it as a threat to extraterrestrial beings. Now, they were trying to corral Trump into this UFO threat language with what they were saying, and the way that the Popular Mechanics article spins this. Here's what Trump said. Can you explain why the Department of Defense has set up a UFO task force? Are there UFOs? Oh, this is the question he was asked. Well, I'm going to have to check on that, Trump replied. I mean, I've heard that. I heard that 2 days ago, so I'll check on that. I'll take a good, strong look at that. That's the most evasive answer in history. Then Trump says, I will tell you this. We've now created a military the likes of which we've never had before. In terms of equipment, the equipment we have, the weapons we have, and hope to God, we never have to use it. But we've created a military the likes of which nobody has ever seen. Russia, China, they're all envious of what we have, all built in the USA. We've rebuilt it all, $2.5 trillion. As far as the other alien question, I'll check on it. I heard about it 2 days ago, actually. UFO sightings followed confirmed UFO sightings by U.S. Navy pilots between 2004 and 2014. The Pentagon's UAP task force will investigate the sightings, blah, blah, blah. It's the first official U.S. government program affiliated with UFO research since a 2000-era unit that analyzed unmanned aerial vehicles. So then they say, what exactly was Trump getting to in this interview? One interpretation is that Trump riffed on the possible threat of aliens to talk about how much he had done for the U.S. military. Indeed, the president has spent $2.5 trillion on defense. The other possibility, this was Trump directly threatening aliens, or more likely the foreign governments behind UAPs, and threatening them with military action. So there was a series of articles in 2020 that were all about the UFO threat, which I've highlighted over and over again, and that the UFO community fell for hook, line, and sinker, and were just like, yeah, you know, we'll talk about the UFO threat. Now, it's interesting because Grush, the phony UFO whistleblower, Elizondo, Nolan, have all come forward and said, yeah, we used the threat thing to get attention around this. So now Nolan, before a conference, a fundraising conference, which is where you get venture capital, and one of his famous quotes, Gary Nolan is the Stanford professor who's worked for the CIA for 10 years and is right in the heart of all this. And he's a contactee, he's a CIA contactee. He says, well, you know, I'm not looking for just $50,000 in funding from individuals. I'm looking for a lot more than that. This is how he opened the conference, which just kind of gives you an idea where their heads are at. And his story of being a paper boy and seeing a UFO is so like, you know, it's the bicycle over the ET moon thing. I say, come on, is this a Spielberg movie? So yeah, I don't buy that. And I also, it's interesting with Nolan, one thing he did put on the record is he said, yeah, we had to use the UFO threat idea. Of course we used it. Then Grush, in this interview that he did last week, this kind of slapstick thing, he was like, yeah, that's what we did. You know, so what? You know, we did that to get attention. So these people are like, you know, well, no one will listen to you unless you say threat. This is their excuse for bringing in the UFO threat piece. But
isn't that sort of admitting that you're liars?
Yeah. Well, okay. Think about them. It's a good point, which is they're counterintelligence people. This is what has to be understood. And whenever you're going through threads of people talking about this and defending Grush and defending the completely outed Elizondo operation, but you have people like Knapp and Dolan who still do that. So, you know, they're not giving the people on the UFO side the right information. They're defending the op. They're opsters. This is the nature of the thing. And that's where you get Corbell and that whole side of it, which we've covered extensively on this program. The point is, you know, it's not to say that those people are CIA. You know, Nolan is CIA and Lou is CIA and Grush is NGA and they're all trained by CIA. So it's one big soup of intelligence community people. Those are the people. But the opsters are just the people who used to have some credibility in the field and gave it over to this op that came in. And that's where you get the whole thing about the movies and all the rest of it. So that does play a rather large role when you're thinking about what they're setting up for 2024. That's where we're going next. But remember this bit, Trump acknowledges UFOs, threatens aliens with military action, which he didn't. But Popular Mechanics waved it out there because this was part of that operation. And it's a continuing operation, although I would say the threat aspect ran into some difficulties because once, you know, people like me pointed it out and then you have the ideas room and everyone's like, yeah, you're pushing a UFO threat. That's what's showing up. And they have their own people watching, you know, these different sides of things and conversations. And they say, well, let's move it. Let's move this whole thing to the Pacific Ocean and have Avi Loeb finding fragments of Oumuamua that have alien life inside. That's what we're going to next. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist X Series special report. This is final election 2024, America versus the deep state, continuity of government, COG Space Force. This is the op. This is the program. We're going to be taking your questions here momentarily. And I've got an RFK Jr. piece I want to get to here as well. I do want to say this in relation to RFK Jr.'s campaign, which is, I think, more more enthusiasm and more support for the things that he's putting out there. If you really think about what he's doing, it's an incredible educational campaign as well. But he is uniquely suited as a figure to be able to take on the deep state, considering the work of his own father, who was assassinated by that group, and his uncle, of course, President Kennedy. So I think the courage that he's showing just getting involved with this, really, that, you know, there is this tendency to be like, hey, you know, in 2015, he tweeted something that didn't, you know, sound like it was globalist or whatever. That's not where it's at. Whatever it is that he's doing now, you know, and he's been through all sorts of phases for things, but he's bringing forward, I think, the message that we need to hear on this. I've said it in relation to the 2024 campaign. I think a lot of experts and people around the independent media field, you hear it over and over again that the election doesn't matter and the presidency is, you know, completely powerless in the setup. It's actually not true, especially now, because if you think of the difference of the Biden administration, this whole regime and what they're doing in hollowing out America, and whether it's hollowing it out through inflation, hollowing it out through the excessive immigration that they're forcing people through. It's an invasion at the border, stripping of rights, the pushing of, you know, men aren't women and women aren't, all this stuff. If that's not stopped, if you get another regime installed in America that's doing that, you won't have an America by the end of that term. That's the problem. And there is a way to push it back. It's so vulnerable. This is the interesting thing, that they can't do anything without the emergency powers. So, you know, what I see, I've pointed this out, that the forces on the Kennedy side coming in to smash the op and the forces on the Trump side, they both have a common goal in this sense, which is to get rid of this unconstitutional regime. Now, they're coming from their own individual places, and I'm sure they'd run things a little differently, but both of them respect the Constitution. And that's a huge leap over what we have going on here currently. And of course, you need the whole system overhauled. But remember, it's a body politic. You cannot function without that head. And the head of the government is the president. So you can't dismiss it. And I've heard the smartest people around getting into dismissing this. And you know, I've tried talking to them. I'm sorry, but you know, I know something about politics after all this time. And if you don't get the right president in next time, you're going to be in the world of trouble. But we have time to do it. And that's the exciting thing going on here. Okay, Miss Olivia, you got it.
The Book Nook says, when will RFK Jr. switch over to an independent run? And Harlequin Dreamer says, RFK Jr. running as an independent would split the Democratic vote and guarantee a Trump victory. What say you?
Wow, those are both really good positions. I've got all my RFK stuff here. I'll whip through it pretty quickly. But here's the thing. The DNC has the process held in such a hostage fashion that there's no way that Bobby can do anything on the Democratic side. Now, originally, he thought, I'll create the momentum and we'll collapse Stepford Biden in the early primaries where he's vulnerable, New Hampshire and Iowa. So what the Biden regime did is they told the DNC, eliminate New Hampshire and Iowa, push them way back in the process and elect South Carolina, where on the Democrat side, he thinks he can do well. Because remember, when Stepford Biden got in, he lost dramatically. He got 9% of the vote in New Hampshire, and he lost dramatically in Iowa. They thought he was finished and that Bernie was going to win. And what they did was, you know, Obama and all these people ganged up and they got together in South Carolina and made sure that he won. Now, this time around, they don't want to face any of those challenges. And they're just dismissing RFK Jr. And they say, well, if you get votes, actually, if you win in New Hampshire, we'll take the delegates from those votes and give them to Biden. So that's the punishment that they're dishing out. So, in fact, there is no way for Bobby to win the way that they've rigged it. So he's giving them a choice by bringing it up publicly. And in the background, in a sinister fashion, is hanging out this idea that Mayorkas, that head of Homeland Security, who's become like the Gestapo for the Biden administration, they won't give Bobby Secret Service protection. I brought this up last week. And here's the thing in relation to that. Everyone who is any kind of significant candidate gets that coverage at this point. And he has his own security forces or whatever, for sure. But, you know, the idea of them security stripping him as a candidate when he is a candidate, after all, there's no excuse for it. So they're making so many moves to short circuit Bobby's campaign. The problem is, you know, they really resent his popularity. And the more that he gets out and the more that that message gets out, he overwhelms Stepford Biden. So the media has to keep him, you know, this idea, oh, he's some fringe anti-vaxxer. That's all that they can come up with. They don't want to talk about policy and they don't want to debate him and all the rest of it. So it's coming down to the point where, although when he first got in on the Democratic side, it looked like he could take him on and create these surprises in these different states. Now it's looking like with the way that the DNC is operating this illegally, he's going to have to get off the Democrat ticket and run independently. Now he has said, and he came out and said, I may have to seek other options if they continue this illegal track. And that's where things get interesting. Let's look at how that may play out. And then we'll take about 10 minutes on that. And we'll take your questions. Mm-hmm. How's that sound? Okay. Everyone, you're watching the Dark Journalist Show. This is Final Election 2024, America versus the Deep State, Continuity of Government, COG Space Force. It's about a 2-hour special here for you. And we're going to be taking your questions here shortly. Now, this is interesting. Now, setting up 2024, you've got Trump who's going to win the Republican nomination. There's no question about that. But they have all these pending indictments on him, and they figure we can pin something on him, and that'll completely bamboozle him somehow. So they just keep throwing them out there. I hear that they're working on a new one from Arizona. So he's just going to be there collecting these indictments, and they're going to try any policy. So they're creating a constitutional crisis because you have the incumbent going after, with his weaponized Justice Department, his political opponent. The world can see that. The whole world is watching, as it were. So what did Biden do for sending messages out there? You have a Republican debate coming up. Trump won't be there, but DeSantis and others, you know, Nikki Haley, other neocons will be there. They're sending Gavin Newsom. Why would you send Gavin Newsom? Well, Newsom's been doing all of these interviews, all kinds of media. Why would he be doing anything? He's the governor of California. You might go out there and promote things you're doing in California. But why is he all over the place, meet the press and everything else? He is some kind of anointed stand-in for Biden, should Biden collapse. We already know he's collapsed in the polls, but should he actually collapse in public physically, that's what they have there as the backup.
That's a wild card. It could always happen.
It is. Or it's very close to happening. You can see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's actually amazing it hasn't happened yet.
I'm shocked. And the amount of drugs that they must pump into him just to keep him going. But he's repeating himself. He's falling asleep. He's calling people the wrong name. I mean, it's, you know, he forgot to shake hands with the president of Brazil in this photo op. And the president, you know, this Brazilian president, he looks at it and he just goes, ah, you know, it's one of these great video moments because he's not holding back his disdain. So Kennedy comes out today and he says, I'm holding a press conference in Austin, Texas, to call on Democratic officials to unite with Republicans to pressure President Biden to adopt a common sense border policy. Now, this is exactly right, and it's the right tack to take. The only thing I think that Kennedy needs to do here is really say the disaster at the border, Stepford Biden is a disaster, we need to change the leadership. You know, the rhetoric has to be more fiery, because people don't respond when you just say, let's get common sense going. Although that's exactly what we need, you have got to, in the political circles, you know, if you think about RFK or if you think about JFK, they are heavy duty. They are tremendous on the campaign front. And if you look at Kennedy versus Nixon in 1960, he'll stand on cars, you know, and with speakerphones and things like that, and just really call him out. And he's not holding back. So I don't know who in the Bobby campaign is telling him, you know, he's a very polite guy, first of all, and he does want to run a positive campaign, but whoever is holding him back from really, you know, striking a knockout blow against Stepford Biden has got to let him go, because, you know, the country's at stake. The border invasion is on. Biden is behind it. You have got to do something. So you're calling these people out. You're saying, let's get together. That's the right thing. On top of that, you need, you know, what a disgrace for this administration. That's why you need new leadership. It has to be on that tip. And I think the only place that Bobby really goes after Biden in a very effective, strong way, like what I'm talking about, is over Ukraine. And, you know, but he's got all the points, and people in the public, you know, you're going to find a consensus. People are more and more agreeing with Robert Kennedy. He needs to really step on the gas in relation to the Biden administration. And I think if he's forced to run independent, he will. What would an independent candidacy look like? Let's see if I can answer that person's question the long way around. There are two schools of thought on this. And by the way, I think the presence of Tulsi Gabbard at Kennedy's home after the Eric Clapton fundraiser, that's a shot there with Eric Clapton. They raised a lot of money too, $2 million, I think, on the West Coast. They need to get Bobby up here soon, because the early primaries, of course, are on the East Coast. But this is good. The Tulsi part is interesting, because they may be projecting a ticket right there, because, again, she's right between the Democrat and Republican parties as well. So here's the nature of the situation. The party, the No Labels Party, is the one that's set up in all 50 states. They've done the groundwork to set themselves up. So they are kind of ideal as an independent party for him to run. There is the independent party. There are other parties like the Green Party and things like that. And on, you know, we have the libertarian thing, but he could never probably run as a libertarian. The problem also with the libertarian thing is, you know, they've done all this groundwork. They have this philosophy and everything else, but their guy always gets 1% in the polls. And, you know, when the vote totals are done. So you think, after all this time, you're spending all this time putting this guy on the ballot, like, get a candidate you think can win. But anyway, let's just look at it as Trump is running on the Republican side. Biden or his replacement, Newsom or Kamala, is running independently. You know, they're running on the Democratic side. RFK is independent, and we have maybe RFK with Tulsi independently, and then Trump. And what I see with Trump, I think that he is going to have a female running mate. That's would be definitely my prediction. Yeah, you can see it. It's in the works. So I think under those scenarios, you have to look at the analysis of what happens. And so we need more data to figure out exactly how it works. But I would say this, that there are a lot of independents in this election, probably more than ever before. And in general, I think they would go Trump's way. So I think if Bobby isn't there, that Trump, you know, Trump is already leading Stepford Biden by 5 points in the polls. That's before this border crisis takes off. So just looking at it on a traditional thing, I think Trump versus Biden would win. If you throw Robert Kennedy in there, what it looks like from the early polls that he's drawing heavily from the Democrat and independent side. So it's hard to say. That might be an election that would go into the House of Representatives, because if no one gets a majority, if everyone's sitting, you know, around 33%, then the whole thing gets thrown into the House of Representatives, and there's a congressional election. So this could get very interesting, because whoever is controlling the Congress at that point would certainly have an edge. A lot of weird things going on in relation to this. Of course, the last time this came up was over Ross Perot's candidacy when he ran, and Perot did get close to 20% of the vote. So it's there to be had. As a matter of fact, Clinton only won with 41% of the vote. But, you know, Bush had stumbled so bad, the country was so sick of that kind of CIA leadership that they went right into the arms of the Clinton machine. So I guess the short answer for all that data and info around that election is what would happen. I think that Trump could win it on the Republican side. No matter what, he could win the presidency. And I think that Bobby, if everyone gets behind him, could win as an independent. Then, you know, it's been floated out there, of course, about Trump and RFK. I'm going to save that one, but I will say this. You know, there are times in a country's history where you need the kind of group effort in order to complete it, and it's not the job for one man alone. So they may have to both put aside any kind of differences they have on policy and meet up and say, how can we get rid of this regime? And in any case, we all benefit dramatically if you have on one side Kennedy running and Trump on the other. If they're running together, you know, as unlikely as that is, it's very, you know, it's a desirable situation. Yes. What do you got?
Caritas Terra says, why are we so sure Trump will be nominated? Anti-Trump rhinos are as strong as ever.
He'll get the nomination because of the way that the RNC works. What the dirty tricksters on the rhino side and the dirty tricksters in the DNC side, what they're trying to do is run these pieces of legislation through these various states like New Mexico, New Hampshire, they tried it, to knock him off the ballot because he's under indictment. You can't do that. But you can illegally try to do it. And so what they're engaged in doing is illegally trying to prevent him from being on a ballot in a state that may make a difference. You know, preventing someone from running. They're already, the kind of targeting, you've never seen targeting like this in a presidential candidate. There are always dirty tricks on one side or the other. Indicting a former president who's your political opponent has never been done. So we're already in uncharted territory. The fact of Biden's mental state, Fetterman in the Senate showing up in whatever clothes he wants to, them changing the rules for that.
That is not Fetterman, and we know it.
We're in uncharted territory, just like the UFO threat thing is uncharted territory. So, you know, things are working under very unusual rules. But as bad as that is, it actually opens up opportunities as well. Now, someone who's been showing up a lot on talk shows is Super Hillary, good old Hillary. And she's been saying she doesn't believe former President Trump when he said it would be unlikely that he would pardon himself. She's out there as a point person. It's very unusual. There's something lurking there in the Hillary presence, just like there's something lurking in the Gavin presence. And it's hard to put your finger on it. It's also hard to imagine, hey, we're going to make Kamala go away. They have to give Kamala something so grand that it seems like, you know, she achieved so much. But it has happened before. For example, President Ford knocked off his VP at the time, Nelson Rockefeller, in order to run with Bob Dole in 1976 because they were in trouble against Carter. It has happened, and you can shake off. As a matter of fact, Kennedy was going to shake off LBJ, and we saw how that worked. That's some one version of Fetterman, right? Fetterman. That's, you know, this is an interesting, they're getting a lot of data for what would happen if they just put, you know, people who had brain implants that were being controlled by somebody else in office. And I think the early versions of that are putting up people like Biden and Fetterman, whose brain power has been diminished through one thing or another. But for them to do that on that level, just like Feinstein, you know, her being elderly and all the rest of it is one part of it. But it's almost the thing of like, you know, even if you're a corpse that we're controlling electronically, you're going to vote the way we want to vote. So it shows you the position that they need. So one last thing on Kennedy I wanted to get across.
Volcanelli says Senator slob.
But it's intentional. And the fact that Schumer makes this role just for one guy. You know, the whole thing is intentional. It's very unusual tactic, but it is to...
It's demoralization.
It is. Yes. There's no question about it. But to have these kind of like AI shells, you know, they're just controlled. And in Biden's case, controlled by committee to a point where I can't imagine any other president who was controlled by committee at this level. You know, George W. Bush, Obama, I mean, they came in and really, if you look at those people, you know, Obama was the clerk for the bankers and Bush for the war machine. So they, you know, they were their own version of a hollow shell, but this is different. This is, there's nothing in there and we're just zapping thoughts in there. And there's been so many examples of it with Biden. And, you know, it's at this point, it's not funny anymore. There's no question about it. All right. Let's put the final piece in here. Oh, here's that other illegal thing that they did when Zelensky got here. I wanted to put this on the record. So the Republicans did the right thing and they said, you know, we're not passing the funding carte blanche. The speaker wanted to, but the number of the members said no way. So what happened as a result of that was the money didn't flow instantly to Ukraine that they wanted to. They've already spent now $120 billion on Ukraine. This is new money. Okay, after that, they already got that, and God knows how much black budget money they have going on.
Breast implants.
Right. Maria Abramovich, his new ambassador. Hey, listen. That's a true story, by the way. Mm-hmm. I'll mention that. Pentagon exempts Ukraine operations from potential government shutdown. Now, whenever we get to this government shutdown thing, it's, oh, the government's going to shut down. There's always 2 weeks of stories and there's always negotiation and they always, you know, they all go away. The only time there was a real government shutdown was Newt Gingrich in 1995. And it wasn't done in such a way that it became, you know, a good model to follow. But one thing that was for sure was whatever Newt said, that Congress would follow along. But this idea... and this is touted in Politico, but they say the decision means that training on American tactics and equipment can move forward uninterrupted if lawmakers don't reach a funding deal by the end of the month. Well, that's illegal because the funding has to come from Congress. The president can't say, I'm going to give this country money because I want them to win a war. If the Congress doesn't go along with you, then that's an illegal activity. So, you know, they're just floating it out there. Hey, just like Macron. It's an emergency powers thing. I'm just taking the ability to do it. So I'm directing the Secretary of State, this is Biden, to continue to give money to Ukraine, even though the legislature in the country, the Congress, is blocking it. So, I mean, that's a dictatorship, you know. So there are already signs here. They're like, we're going to do this no matter what. One thing I wanted to point out to kind of round out that thing about the alien piece was, you know, we've heard of this guy, Ed Dowd. He's done a lot of very interesting work. His book is interesting. Came out of the financial world, but he saw all the things around the COVID op, et cetera. But here, he's somebody on this side who gets it. So sometimes you have to reach outside of your own field in order to get it. Alien threats a facade to justify spending bonanza, warns Edward Dowd. Now that, you know, that should be someone in the UFO field saying that, but it's not. It's somebody from outside who can see it. And that's dark journalism when you look at it, when you get right down to it. Everyone, you're watching the final election 2024. This is a dark journalist special report, America versus the deep state, continuity of government, COGX, coming to an election near you in 2024.
Ed Dowd is working with Bobby on his campaign.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. He's the co-treasurer of that campaign. So Bobby's getting a lot of good intel from this guy. And Dowd's very interesting. I think he's one to watch for sure. So I have this whole thing on Voronezh, and I have this whole thing on our friend Grush.
Voronezh.
UFO whistleblower. Here's the deal. Before we get into any of those, let's start taking questions because we're going to wrap up here in about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes. Okay, go for it.
Okay, Lily B says, Miss Olivia. I didn't catch what DJ thinks the reason is for the jet disappearing. Can he please elaborate?
Well, the F-35 instantly shows up very suspiciously on the radar because Trump was pointing it out as the invisibility plane, and on more than one occasion. And they were really afraid in that national security state of him giving away this advantage. But I think that Trump's position was, hey, we have it and, you know, we'll use it. And you see this once in a while. At the beginning of the war with Ukraine, the Russians said, we shot down a UFO that was heading towards Moscow. They didn't say a drone or whatever. They said a UFO. So there's a threat that's attached to that, or it's an acknowledgement. Like, if you want to, do you want to really have this conversation? We can do it. And, you know, the UFO file in Russia, it's just as high, if not higher, than what we have here in America. They're on parity. There's no question. And there's a long, a long history of them studying and redeveloping this. So that's maybe what's more at issue here. And I think this goes back to Khrushchev and Kennedy saying, you know, give Khrushchev these high threat UFO files so that we don't have a nuclear incident. And that's where that nest of advanced secrecy, high technology, exotic technology people, some who were associated with the paperclip program, that sent shockwaves there. That's why you have fascist involvement on some level in the, that's where you get like a dram scenario involved in the Kennedy assassination. So when we think of it like that, the F-35, the fact that we have this history that, you know, it just disappeared back in Japan in 2019, Trump saying it's invisible. And by the way, that pilot who ejected in the 2019 incident died. He died of a heart attack a week later. So his story about what happened with it and all the rest of it wasn't, you know, no one was able to tell it. This pilot, hopefully he stays healthy, and he jettisoned himself out of it. I already showed the chart of how they do these things on NORAD. When you have a plane that is that highly advanced, there's no way that you can lose track of it. It doesn't happen. So, you know, they did the whole thing with 9/11. They were like, oh, they turned the transponders off. We couldn't see where the planes were. That's how they got. No, they had built the system. If you go back, you can study how they built in the Air Force for every type of contingency involving a Soviet invasion of U.S. airspace. That was back then. And they had that as kind of, you know, out of the Cold War. And then beyond that, they had an incredible, massive air defense system. We have the greatest military in the entire world. As a matter of fact, our military is so big in terms of expenditures and development that the other countries don't spend anything, not even near. They spend maybe 5% of what we spend in terms of the military. So this whole thing about we can't see where it was, or, you know, who's tracking where that F-35 is, and all those stories on CNN. Look, I don't know what they take people for generally, but anyone who has any experience with any of this stuff, and, you know, I haven't flown planes. I've just studied what NORAD does. You know, you can't lose an F-35 in America. It's a complete falsehood, just like you can't lose a Chinese balloon. Do you remember when they were like, oh, we're not sure we should shoot at that balloon. We're going to wait till the sun comes up. What about infrared and all the stuff? Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, you know, we learned about that during the Gulf War, right? You can see anything at night. They had that technology for 50 years. So, you know, I mean, a lot of this stuff is staging. So what the F-35 is as a signal, you know, there's something very unusual taking place with the signaling about that. And I think it has something to do with someone trying to figure out what kind of technology is available. That is, at what point does that thing become invisible? And, you know, who knows? Maybe it was a test. Maybe in order to go invisible, the pilot has to eject. You know, there's a lot of strange questions about the F-35, but I go directly back to the X technology and Trump. And we know that Trump, just like Bobby Kennedy, has a direct connection through his family to the UFO file. It's not, you know, we've done enough programs on it. It's on the record. You know, John Trump knew directly about the UFO file through Vannevar Bush. That's all there is to it. And that's why he sent him in to examine Tesla's technology after Tesla died. So those things are on the record. Yes.
Hang on one second.
Nicely done.
Here, let's finish that up with these comments. Dixie 504 says, I thought the missing F-35 was the beginning of the UAP op. Thought they'd say UFO shot it down or kidnapped it. WC Ray says, dry run? Question mark. And Happy Hermit 3D says, maybe the vanishing F-35 is meant to set up a pretext of plausible deniability for some planned military attack on a domestic target.
Yeah. That last one is the kind of scenario that it's like an Operation Northwoods for the 21st century. And classically in Operation Northwoods, what they try to do, and Kennedy was so disgusted that he walked out of the meeting, but they wanted to have a plane that was, you know, painted to look like a Cuban plane shoot down an American plane. And it's interesting because that whole false flag idea would give us the ability to retaliate upon them, you know, because they shot down one of our civilian planes and all the rest of it. You know, there's a lot of false flags around technology, including the fact that at a certain point, there's a story from about 7 years ago where, you know, a nuke got lost during transport. So there's always that factor out there. I would just say that this we know for sure, which is the F-35, Trump gave it X properties by saying it had invisibility. So therefore, anything that comes out of that F-35, and the F-35 before it was the F-35 was an X-series plane. So for me, they're operating with that technology. That always gets dicey in public, by the way. Yes, what do you got?
THP3 free. Does DJ think that the UFO file isn't compartmentalized?
The UFO file is the top secret inside the United States national security state. So you have a small group that I've identified as X-Protect on this program. Their job is to keep the actual truth about the UFO file out of the radar, out of the news, because what I've identified is there's a series of physics that flow from the appearance of UFOs, and it upsets the normal physics that we've come to trust. So that's why you hear things about people going through walls and through objects and, you know, time stopping and missing time. All those things are all aspects of apotheum. And apotheum is that central idea. If you start to understand that, then you can see, oh, this X-Protect group protects all of the access around this. So in an ordinary program like the nuclear program, you have incredible protocols because of the destructive power that's involved. Well, we've had people like Dr. Farrell say that torsion physics, you know, it has the ability to make an atomic bomb look like a firecracker. So let's take that type of a model and think about what they're dealing with on the UFO file. Now, part of the problem, I believe, is that the aiming system for doing this stuff, that they haven't mastered a lot of how they do that. And also, by the way, the X technology is not strictly the idea of an extraterrestrial phenomenon. So you could be dealing with something else that shows up, which is earthbound, that has this X technology. And if you follow anything along the X series, you're going to find that whole wave of mystery school knowledge around the secret technology going all the way back to the Atlantean culture, through the Edgar Cayce readings, through the Rudolf Steiner work. It's there. There's a undeniable thread, and there's a reason I think it's pushed forward in that period of the 20th century. It's like, get yourself set up, because you're going to be dealing with this, so you have to understand this is the type of technology that existed in Atlantean times. They kept it and somebody held on to it. So it's not necessarily extraterrestrial. Yes.
Nancy O'Brien Simpson, does the Dark One have thoughts about if the aliens are nefarious, benign, or benevolent?
Look, forget about how the government portrays the alien thing for a minute and just go with the stories that we've seen on the record. There are all kinds of different types of interactions. Some of them sound like wisdom exchange. Some of them sound like, test labs and, you know, that they're using human beings as some kind of lab rat. So you have different groups operating there. So I don't think that you can nail it down. But if you look at the stories generally, there aren't stories about, you know, there's no like, hey, aliens came down and they burned the ground and, you know, took over a city and held the leadership hostage. Like the whole thing of the threat that they've been trying to portray out of the intelligence community for this field, it has a tremendous deficit. And it is kind of, you know, it's like the type of science fiction thinking that they used, just like the terrorist thing and the constant, you know, jihadi thing. They had this thing. They were like, how can we make this work for us? And they dressed up bin Laden, who was one of their own agents, Tim Osman, classically, and who the Bush family had a real estate relationship with his dad. I mean, come on. So when you get around this, you realize that the super secrecy around the UFO file and its importance to the Defense Department and to those forces inside of that national security state trying to create incidents for consolidation of power. Think of Operation Northwoods example that I gave you, or think about 9/11. What could you really do with an alien threat? You can consolidate a lot of power with that. That's why they've been developing that. And we've had super insiders, people like Fletcher Prouty in 1997, who used to be the liaison between CIA and Joint Chiefs, said UFOs and aliens are being primed as the next threat. Well, that's 1997. This is about 25, 26 years later. It seems like, you know, in the development, this is what we're seeing. I think you just get a sense when you do your research. You've been inside that structure. You see how they operate. And then you see, you know, what we're seeing in the media and all the rest of it. So, you know, make no mistake that, you know, they're being primed in a role. But when you get back to what the real thing is, you have to go into stories, you know, you have to go into the literature, the main stories, even Betty and Barney Hill, even those stories have very unusual hints in them. You know, Alice in Wonderland is mentioned in there. Nazis are mentioned in there. And at the same time, you know, there's star maps and, you know, time warps. I mean, there's a lot of literature that we have based on human experience that has nothing to do with the media or the government. And that's where I lean toward. So I've met people who've had experiences. And if you tune into them and the experience they had, then you get a much better idea for what's happening. You don't have all the answers for what it is. But you can see instantly that going directly to extraterrestrial is not necessarily what we're talking about. If you think of Steiner's vision of Ahriman, that's a very alien force, and that is very negative. But, you know, is it an alien spaceship that's shooting laser beams? It's very different, right? So we have to kind of start to define the terms of what we're talking about. And what about those kind of experiences that people have when they say, well, I had this encounter with this thing. And then afterwards I felt, you know, all this spiritual stuff. You know, I tell this story about someone that I bumped into by accident in Brookline. And he was one of the Allagash incident people. And the Allagash, you know, you fly into it, it's very dense forest up there in Maine. And he and two of these teachers, art teachers from Mass Art, who were twins, all go up there and get abducted. And, you know, the stories come back to them. They have a lot of weird apotheum that takes place with them. But ultimately, if you kind of track that story, you find that all of their abilities increased dramatically after this interaction. So it's almost like some kind of mathematical download. Their artwork got better, you know. So there's something, there's some other aspect that's operational there. I wanted to point out, since I'm talking about apotheum, and I'll just slip this in here because I think Voronezh is part of this weirdness that we're seeing going on. Because remember, early on in the Ukraine war, one of their advanced F-35 type planes on the Russian side went down in Voronezh. Well, Voronezh is interesting because Putin was stationed there before he became, you know, the great leader of the Soviet Union and Russia now. Or he was KGB in the Soviet Union and then became this 20-year institutionalized leader. But what's interesting is the encounter in Voronezh that takes place in 1989, this is something that makes international news because nobody can hide this. There's a landing in a park and aliens get out. And there's one story there about a boy, a teenage boy who gets overly excited or whatever, and the alien makes him disappear. And people are really like, what's going on here? And then he reappears. So there's a lot of apotheum that takes place in that entire case. I think it's very important. There's too many witnesses. And what's funny, if you look, you hear about the case, you know, it's, I think 30 years later now, a lot of those people have come forward who were children at the time and came forward and said, you know, this is what happened. So the Voronezh case, I think, is significant. Here's another thing about Voronezh, major nuclear center for the Russians. And thank God, when I did a program on that a few years ago, someone emailed me who lived there and said, did you know, Voronezh is like hardcore nuclear. Well, that's important when you think about this. Yes.
Gigi Young, UFO nuke event in the future? And Bobo the Clown says, the deep state will blame dues, D-E-W's, on space aliens. Just watch.
Well, Gigi, now you have me curious because I know the way that you see things. And it's so fascinating to think about what they might have up their sleeve for that emergency powers. But that is where I think instantly, you know, you talk about raising the stakes in the game. It almost seems like the forces that are taking part in this Ukrainian sideshow are getting us into this scenario.
Well, Sean Penn, just talking about nukes and
how we're normalizing it.
We're cowardly to think that, you know, we should be frightened of nukes. That was crazy.
Yeah. good old Sean. You know, it's interesting too, because when you think about the nature of all the steps that have been taken to secure us against a nuclear event, including the Cuban Missile Crisis, where it was like, hey, you know, Kennedy was completely justified in just going in and bombing the missiles. But that type of level-headed leadership to walk us through those things very well may have saved humanity in that period of time. Let's keep that in mind. Everyone, you're watching The Dark Journalist Show. This is final election, 2024, America versus the deep state, continuity of government. And we're going to take a few more of your questions and then wrap it up tonight. I did want to put this into the weird quote file that I've been developing for the whole evening. Extraterrestrial technical surprise is a top concern, Pentagon UFO investigator says. I kid you not. And that is, I think, Gilpatrick. Sean Kilpatrick, Director of the ARRO, All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office of the Department of Defense. And ARRO is that office. It's the UFO. It's UFO DOE. It's the UFO Defense Office that Gillibrand and Rubio set up. So there he is saying it's a surprise. And he's using extraterrestrial. And he's saying militarily, you know, this is what's going on. Again, weird, very weird language from top officials dealing directly with the nation's defenses globally. You have the weirdness from Van Herk. You have the weirdness from Saltzman over at Space Force. You have the weirdness from Gilpatrick there. You know, I mean, they're putting that out there for a reason. And, you know, it's interesting because there's all sorts of thoughts about this. One of the interesting things that came up is I tell the story about the Transcenders very often, which is a group that was, it was like Edgar Cayce. This guy was in Canada. His name was Rick Thurston. And before he died, he made a prediction through a NORAD officer originally. The NORAD officer died. And then I sought out who was behind the prediction. And I got to speak for hours with him over a few months. And so the Transcender group, which was like a Cayce channel type information, had predicted this event over New York City for October 13th, 2010. And that prediction was made the summer before. And I had that documented. So I knew that someone in there was making correct predictions. That's what made me curious about it. And but what they had to say was that the corporations and the national security state had so decimated certain aspects of the atmosphere through nuclear testing and other things that there were going to be active efforts of groups that were repairing the atmosphere. And that because of the work that they were doing, it was going to be obvious. And so that they were showing up in such obvious ways, like this appearance over New York City in 2010, to kind of prepare people for this. And this gets us to interesting territory because I do feel, you know, when we talk about the environment and things of this nature, there's so many lies and the climate change is so used that we don't realize that the corporations and the nuclear testing and all this other stuff has really screwed up the environment. And what we need more than anything is to throw that back on the corporations, you know, those corporations like Apple and Amazon that are just sitting there with all these billions on their balance sheet. They're not reinvesting it in America. They are the ones who need to be able to clean the atmosphere. They're the ones who should be working to restore the environment. They're the ones who destroyed it. And if you want that kind of a movement, you know, instead of like, oh, carbon tax and you live in a smart city as a slave, that's a totally different thing. That's using the environmental destruction to create a slave system. So I think that there are interesting threads in what the Transcenders had to say in relation to that. Oddly enough, they also talked about a period like this when there would be massive waves of migrants and how much of a problem that would be. If we go there and plug in to some of the Cayce predictions about earth changes and things like that, look, these elites, so-called, as we, you know, refer to them, they know all about that. If you go into the Rudolf Steiner work, he said, well, when Blavatsky came over to America, you know, she engaged with the mystery schools directly because of her own knowledge, and they were afraid of her because of what she knew. And what she commented on was, wow, you know, it's amazing how many of the mystery schools are directly in charge of the political process in America. And then when you move that up to 1920, Steiner said, the problem, of course, is much worse now than, you know, the secret societies, you know, are basically running the political system. Now, he did say that the mystery schools were involved in that. So you have groups on the right-hand path and groups on the left-hand path. And those groups that are trying to move the culture forward are also a very powerful consideration for us. It's not only, you know, spooks behind the scenes. There's something good operating as well as a buffer to that. So we're kind of, you know, we're getting kind of tension and, you know, in the center of it all, here we are. Yes.
Redcap Goblin, every time I think it can't get any worse, it gets worse. Can America save itself?
Yes, believe it or not, I'm going to shock you right here, but the ideas room can save America. I kid you not. I think about this. This is a very unusual Casey readings. If you go into the World Affairs readings, they're stunningly accurate and also very predictive in nature. Now, Casey said, you know, in looking out, we're talking about the sleeping prophet, Edgar Casey, but he said, in looking out consciously, he said this, you know, I don't want to be predicting things because I believe so much in free will, but it would show up in the readings at times. But at one point, they asked him in 1940, before America got involved with the war, you know, are we going to be invaded and all the rest of it? And the group that they had were 50 people who were asking questions. They'd got together. And Casey said, if the intentions of the 50 people in this room are basically attuned to spiritual forces, there won't be an invasion in America. Those 50 people. So it's, you know, a lot of times people look for majorities and things and like, when is the world going to turn around and all the rest of it? And I can appreciate it. And it seems like we're in a period, an unheralded, you know, just completely, you know, the type of period of time which puts us in completely uncharted territory, which I'm sure people felt during World War II and, you know, the advance of Hitler and these countries just disintegrating overnight. But yes, is the answer. And America has that mystery spirit because it was a mystery school that founded America. So I don't believe that that connection that America has can fail. As a matter of fact, you know, the people who give up on America, I wouldn't count America out. I actually think that America has the ability to do it. It has in the DNA of the Constitution and the entire country the ability to right the situation. So let's see if we can get that done. It's funny, too, because a lot of the things that we're referring to about space is to remove that type of sovereignty. You know, because if I'm above you, this was a Nazi target very early on. That's why they got into the rocket program. They figured out if you had a space station above that was controlling things on the ground, there was no way the people could escape. And that's what's been developed. So here we are. Go for it.
Katie Cat, DJ, any insights on the EBS alert on October 4th and Olive Eisner? Also, other rumors regarding the upcoming emergency test October 4th about initiating cell tower frequencies being used to somehow affect people's DNA. Whoever took the jab, tons of chatter online.
Yeah. You know, I think that we're in a position where a lot of things could be tried, and cyber blackouts and a lot of the things I think they're building up toward. I've heard about this thing with October 4th. I don't put a lot of stock in it because it kind of comes out of nowhere. And I listen to it, you know, and try to find some threads to see if there's anything to it. It's pretty much all you can do. I get a little, you know, I'm not so sure it's so helpful.
Can I throw something in there?
Yeah.
You know, and we'll live to see. Yeah. But, you know, I think just understanding the sadism involved with these people is that they actually like to do things when we don't expect it.
Yeah.
You know, so in a horror movie, what they do is they, you know, they build it up like, oh, you open a door and, oh, and then nothing happens or whatever. Oh, it's a cat, right? And then you relax and then you turn around and boom, there's the person with the axe.
The COVID right? off.
So that's what they do is it's a bait and switch, right? They like to hype something. And then when everybody's nervous system calms down, boom, they got you just when you least expect it. That's how they operate. So I don't know if it's going to happen then. It's probably they're building up the suspense. So, and then everybody will be calm. And then they're going to nail us when we least expect it.
It's really interesting. I agree with that. Well, here are a few things connected around that that may work to substantiate that. And this goes kind of out on a limb the way that those weird predictions do. First off, DARPA wants new ideas for space weapons. you know, technically, as far as treaties go, we're not supposed to develop weapons in space, okay? But nonetheless, we're moving towards this war in space. And when you have that type of possibility and what would rain down on the public as a result, I mean, it is what they've moved from the space model. All you have to do is go back to Kennedy's speeches before the UN, and it's absolutely in the heart of the entire setup of the space program not to make it for war. Kennedy was very explicit about it, and he invited the Soviet Union at the time into a joint moon mission. No space race, none of that stuff. No Lockheed Martin to get the space race, collecting all the money and the expansion of the deep state. God knows, you know, what makes up the core of the people in the deep state. Perhaps that whole thing about demonic entities and all that, look no further. But I think this is interesting. The U.S. Department of Defense wants fresh ideas on how to maintain military superiority in space. So this is the direction that they're moving in. Now, there was another very interesting sideshow in relation to this. And part of it is that I pay attention a lot. Buzz Aldrin has been an interesting weather vane for things at times. For example, his strange trip to Antarctica, his strange comments about, well, we didn't actually go to the moon, and then saying, no, we did, you know. his comments about the obelisk and, you know, all these things that he's let out, in fact, and also the fact that he had tremendous difficulties after the moon program. A lot of these astronauts, I believe, had, and this is, there are a lot of researchers who think this, and I believe it, they had their memories removed of what they saw, because I think it related directly to the UFO file, you know, ruins on the moon, things of this nature. But this is the oddness, and take it for what it's worth. And by the way, I Dream of Jeannie is involved. Are you ready?
Okay.
Buzz Aldrin. Many of you remember the TV show I Dream of Jeannie. This is from yesterday, which hit the airwaves for the first time this week in 1965. It was a hit with Barbara Eden and Larry Hagman, bringing a lot of chemistry and laughs into our homes. You may also recall that Hagman's character, and Hagman was a USAF veteran in real life, Tony Nelson, was an astronaut who met Jeannie when his capsule Stardust One splashes down in the South Pacific. Ah, those were the days. And he shows a picture of our friend. Now, believe it or not, I found this really strange. By the way, that's Jeannie.
I love it. You have the best hair ever.
And Larry Hagman is very interesting as well. There's a lot of interesting deep state trails around Hagman, oddly enough. Now, hold that in your mind for a minute, especially what he says about splashdown of Stardust One in the South Pacific. Astrophysicist Avi Loeb, UFOs should be the subject of mainstream inquiry. Science must bring clarity. This is Avi Loeb. By the way, that little astrophysics lab is about, literally, that's about 4 minutes from here. And it's interesting because in this article, he goes off about how, you know, Oumuamua was this big, you know, space probe. It came here, and then there was another thing that came with it, and it crashed into the South Pacific. And we're finding now, through my efforts in New Guinea, we're going to find the alien life inside of it. And so now they're working with samples and all the rest of it. Now, Aldrin, to me, is a guy who's very deep in all of this stuff. And talking about I Dream of Jeannie out of nowhere, splashing down in the South Pacific and all the rest of it, right when we're on the cusp of Avi Loeb saying, hey, I'm going to say that there's alien life associated with these pieces of meteorites, to me was very, very strange messaging out there. One other thing about Avi, who I've pointed out before as part of Talpiot, which is basically like the CIA in Israel, and he's a 10-year veteran of Talpiot, by the way, and his Galileo project, that's a very presumptuous name, but it was originally started off with some scientists who were going to be noteworthy, and, you know, he was talking about it. He did some speeches right over here. Then all of a sudden, doop, 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 CIA person, CIA person, CIA person, you know, the entire intelligence community seems to have joined Galileo Project along with Lou and Chris Mellon, Lou Elizondo and Chris Mellon. So that, I think that tells you a lot about the makeup of that thing. But this is the other op. Remember, this is the AI op. Oh, AI is trying to communicate with us. If we get our AI to communicate with a Muamua, then, you know, we have a real conversation going. Harvard astrophysicist Dr. Avi Loeb has just analyzed meteor particles he retrieved from the Pacific Ocean to determine their origin. It's not a matter of science fiction, says Loeb. It's not a matter of people talking about it in talk shows or politicians discussing it in Congress. It is something that scientists can get to the bottom of. Well, you know, maybe I Dream of Jeannie will give us a few answers there via the figure of Buzz Aldrin. You never know. All right, Miss Olivia, the last question of the evening.
Let me give you, can we do two more?
Sure.
Because I wasn't ready for the last one yet.
Okay.
Okay, I really want to ask this. Quirky Goss, serious question. If DJ could take reins of power in any area / institution, what would that be?
Well, I understand what the question is. I want to correct the language a little bit, though. Power has been the problem. So it's not about consolidation of power in any particular area. Part of the problem is the quest for power. So, but in terms of being able to institute the correct constitutional government, I think you'd want the presidency back immediately. One of the things that Bobby said that he would do is he would look at splitting up the activities of the CIA. That would send such shockwaves throughout all these different industries and all of the different power centers on Earth that it would be remarkable. This is what President Kennedy tried to accomplish. And I think it needs to happen because the culture as it's set up, it's a secrecy culture. That's what we have. So we have a group up here hoarding all of these extraordinary secrets. And then you have the culture on the day-to-day society being completely in a different place with different science, different medicine, different understanding, different space. And so I think what we're looking at is we need to balance out that picture. One of the great things that President Kennedy did is he tried to keep bringing ordinary people, you know, and that's where the Peace Corps came from. You know, the only thing that this administration can do is, you know, they're creating these people to go after their enemies. And so they'll use groups like climate groups or trans groups to just go after their enemies. That's totally different. And that's more like a Nazi youth type thing. But I think what you can do with the presidency is you can reestablish that the out of control intelligence, secrecy, black budget function, that is the thing that has been defended. Just like, you know, that's why you're still dealing with the magic bullet and stuff 60 years later. There's some apparatus that's still defending that. And the traditional publications, you know, the media and the intelligentsia and the establishment still toe the line on these things, even when it comes to the murder of a president. So you can see when it comes to individual rights and things along this line, that it is deep there. The actual dismantling of the deep state can take place inside the government with transparency, but it comes directly as a people movement. So you need, you know, to bring that kind of awareness in. So that would be where I would start. Yes.
Okay. Last three questions. Tied together in a bow.
Yes.
Scarlet Fire says, 9/15/23, Klaus Schwab said at the World Economic Forum interview, quote, "Why do we need elections when we know what the results will be?" Unquote. What the F is going on says, do you honestly believe there will be an election in 2024? And Webster McCallum says, big question, presidential elections have been rigged since at least 2000, and the 2020 election was clearly a scam. How can DJ make any kind of a case that this upcoming election is at all meaningful?
Yeah, you cannot sit on the bench for this one. There's no way, because the stakes are too high. And it's simple, you know, this is not the kind of thing. I think there was a point to disconnecting from how society was going. And it's, you know, what the Gurdjieff line, don't leave the world will leave you. There is a lot to that. But you can't, in the stress of what's going on, depart mentally from the circumstances and say, you know, the world will take care of itself, because of the level of the changes that are trying to be wrought through the advance of the technology and the centralization. So we've heard for years about crashes and, you know, FEMA camps and all this kind of other stuff. And there have been, you know, little pieces of truth in the middle of that kind of sensationalism. But it's also burned out a lot of people because, you know, they've been led over a cliff one way or another. And so there is a kind of a burned out quality to it. And especially when it gets around the presidential thing, they're like, ah. And I think fundamentally, you know, when they had Mitt Romney running against Barack Obama, I'm right there with you. There wouldn't have been any point to do anything. But it did change with the advent of Trump, just like it changed earlier with the advent of Kennedy. And it became very important to have the right figure at the top because it is a body politic. So you cannot, in my opinion, in good conscience, lay on the sidelines for the 2024 election. And I hear smart people saying, well, I'm not going to, you know, endorse Bobby or Trump or anybody. Look, you can't leave it to Biden and cackling Kamala to get back in there. It'll destroy America. So either you care about America or you don't. If you care, then on some level you get involved. And there are a number of things to do to bring about a healthier outcome in the 2024 election. It's not the be-all end-all, but you can't, like, it is such a crucial access point that, you know, very much so, just like if you'd gotten Nixon instead of John Kennedy in 1960, you probably would have had a nuclear war. This is a crucial period of time, and you have an amazing candidate in Bobby Kennedy. And it's extraordinary that we have the ability to put someone like that in the White House. So it's worth a try. There's no question about it. And then you have Trump, who, you know, even with Trump's baggage, whatever it happens to be, he's somebody who would secure the border, which is a huge, gigantic issue. He's somebody who, you know, installs justices to protect the Second Amendment. That's a crucial issue, especially against the globalists. And so there's enough there in Trump to work with to secure America. So Trump or Bobby, you know, bring it on. Those are the choices that we have. Otherwise, you're going to get Newsom, you know, martial law Newsom, cackling Kamala, or Stepford Biden. I mean, it's, you know, that committee that's been running things are so sick that I don't think four more years under them is tolerable. And with that, Miss Olivia.
Okay, I'm just going to throw out these comments to respond to that. Deplatformed said, by voting this year, one forces the hand to play overtly, which I think is very important.
Yes.
They have to, you know, if we do nothing, then, you know, they're not exposed, right? And Rehoboth Farm says, if you don't vote, you are consenting to what they do.
There's no question. And I want to, you know, I don't know how else to put this, but I have seen like people retreating, you know, these people who should be inspiring a movement, retreating and hanging out, you know, in some compound in a foreign country or whatever. I mean, you know, if there's a time to save America, this is the time to do it. And
we were born for this.
Yeah. No question about it.
This is our responsibility.
The other thing that's important, I think, when it comes to America, to think about it, is there are a number of tools available. Because remember, America leads the world. There are, you know, there are executive tools. There are legal tools. There are election tools. There are civic tools. There's a number of tools that are still available in America. So they have not been exhausted by a long shot. And sometimes you hear, you know, either you have people who are completely disengaged from it all, or who think there needs to be, you know, some kind of a violent uprising or something like that. Not at all. You have a number of things. And you are at a critical period. So I understand why the question comes up. But there are so many things that haven't been tried, you know, there's a nationwide strike to protest the policies.
Right on.
You know, I mean, there's a number of things. The other thing is that they have major movements in Canada, and they're trying to really harshly smash them. And that's how we can be the contrast, because we can actually support those types of movements that are happening by being in league with them. And, you know, there is no question that they're, you know, they can unleash a kind of a BLM Antifa thing like they did to get rid of Trump in 2020. But ultimately, a lot of that falls away and gets exposed, especially with the type of media that we have going on the independent side. The key thing for the independent side is not to become just a cynical voice, broadcasting cynicism and constantly having a knee-jerk reaction to everything that takes place. It is more to have a very steady voice in the middle of all this chaos, moving the needle, moving the situation to a better place. And like I said, I made the Casey analogy with the 50 people around the table earlier, but I actually, and I've learned so much from the Ideas Room course with everyone there, but I actually think the power of the ideas that get spread when we talk in the Ideas Room on this Dark Journalist program, this is what happens, which is it sends ripples. And to me, it's those, that's the very reason they want to shut down these types of conversations. So for me, it's, you know, this is where it's at. This is what we're doing. And we're exploring these ideas and opening them up. And we're not going over a cliff. We're not going over a cliff on October 4th or getting jettisoned by 5G or whatever. You know, all that stuff's important, but it's not a boogeyman. You know, it's something that we can get a handle on. So with that, Miss Olivia,
did you cover Marina Abramović thoroughly?
Oh no, she was. It's a real story. I just wanted to put on the record that she was really set up as an ambassador by Zelensky. He is making her. He's installing her. I kid you not. I mean, think about this. So you know, she's going to be part of the Ukrainian government, and you know, with all of her occult hijinks and everything exposed, this is a very in your face kind of thing. But yeah, unbelievable.
What do you think the purpose is behind that?
Well, you tell me.
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, there's already all kinds of occult hijinks around what they're doing in relation to Ukraine that I think it fits right along with that. And for me, there's a major occult piece in everything that you see going on, from the transhumanism, from the development of artificial intelligence. And remember, they've had artificial intelligence since the 1950s. And so they already know. And even in the stories they're rolling out, they're just ready to lay it on people and consolidate. But, you know, I'm not saying it in the 50s, it was as advanced as it is now. But, you know, they've had indications of how this would impact the public. They're way ahead on that front. So, you know, this is a crucial thing to learn. But I do feel like Abramović, I printed that out. For me, you know, this is just really in your face. But again, Zelensky isn't a real leader. This is another problem, which is he's a puppet who's put in there.
He's an actor.
He's an actor. Right, exactly. But he's a black budget actor. So, you know, the consolidation, the death toll in such a short period of time in that war is extraordinary. And the loss total, you know, the ratio of deaths, and for them to come out and say, well, Russia's on the run or whatever. No, you know, Russia has dominated you in that whole situation, and you just keep pouring billions of dollars that America doesn't have and that they should be, you know, obviously. The money should stop going to Ukraine. It should go, you know, to places like Maui, and not to let that become just some real estate opportunity for BlackRock. So, you know, and how about having a real country by sealing the border? You know, it's extraordinary the things that they're getting away with at this point. But I think that rather than it just being a chorus of outrage, we can see the patterns of it and call out the patterns in what they're doing. And there's no question what's strange to me is, and this is what I'll end on, with the Biden administration allowing the open borders to such a degree, and I have all these photos here of people just, you know, coming in on trains, buses, whatever it happens to be, and these lines are long, and that supposedly the lines go all the way through South America. Somebody's organizing this, probably the Soros gang who tried it earlier, and their goal is chaos. And then you think of people, you know, you don't want to resent people who are trying to come for a better life and all that kind of things, but the manipulation that's being involved in, it doesn't work that way. And so what they're doing is they are setting up, just like all of the immigrants that are in the 100,000 immigrants they just took into New York City. They have them in these hotels and everything else. And now you have all these New Yorkers who realize that their lives are being destroyed by this, really turning their anger onto the immigrants. Well, it's the people, it's Stepford Biden. It is the regime that's letting them in and that's creating the chaos on purpose. That's where the focus needs to be. And, you know, one thing that Trump did say is he'd create the largest mass deportation program. Well, unfortunately, that's probably exactly what you're going to need. You have to create some kind of humane process for the inhumanity of what they're doing by creating this. But you can't do it by collapsing America with the burden of endless immigrants. It doesn't work that way. It never has, you know, and America was never envisioned to just be an endless, you know, there's a checks and balances situation. So this is done on purpose. And it may be, in fact, the creation of, you know, basically it's kind of the globalist army, in a sense, marching across, because among the people who are seeking out a better life, you have, you know, terrorists and everything else. Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, are they creating resentment between citizens and non-citizens so that there will be a violent reaction? And
chaos.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then they can, there will be some kind of a violent revolution, and they can declare martial law.
Oh, yeah. Well, they already, I mean, if you already have a backlash going on in New York City, by the time that gets up to the next level. I mean,
we're talking about New Yorkers, right?
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
It's not going to take much for them to get
right,
physically violent.
Exactly. This is some, you know, this is definitely a major piece to watch. And I'm going to return our focus to the skies for the end of this, because so many of these things take place through the advent of satellites, you know, the GPS controls, all the things that they want to do with tracking CBDCs and all the rest of it. Do you know how close that connection is with the satellite makers and the Commerce Department? That opens up a lot of eyeballs as well. And so we have to remember, the idea is a grid in space on top, controlling things on the ground. If we keep that model in mind, then we have some idea of where they're headed. And for me, the advent of Starlink and all these things, and they're like, we're going to bring the internet to everyone. What it generally said to me is, we're going to now have the ability to surveil everyone. So that's where the conversation goes. And you're not going to have real freedom with that kind of surveillance. And so we're going to watch in 2024 the development of this threat scenario around the UFO file. But we're going to watch for space activity generally. Things like the F-35 also occurring up there very unusually in relation to this. The whole thing with the balloon program, the phony balloon. Oh, hey, China's moving balloons across America for the first time ever. You know, this is the nature of the things to keep on top of for 2024. And the black budget operation of the secret space program is crucial. And it stands there stark in the middle of it. And in the middle of this election, we have some of the most knowledgeable people about that aerospace dominance and that force of the X-Protect. On the Kennedy side, you know, the history is there. And I'm sure Bobby Kennedy is aware at least of some of it. Trump, for sure, is aware of it, often citing his uncle John Trump in these situations. So these are the crucial aspects and the crucial activities, and it's up in space. It's up in space, you know, affecting things directly on the ground. With that, Miss Olivia, we're done.
All right, I've got a bunch of superpowers to thank. Gillenjoy R., Mark Petrie, our Irish guy at Second Chance Recovery, Bill Gometz, yes. The Book Nook, Brian Paget, W.C. Ray, Kathy Tittle, Eurythmia's Fun, Descac Brock, Fulcanelli, John Folden, Just a Girl, Jay Parsons, Global Atlantis, Brandon K., Mad Scientist of Wet Shaving, Lou Dontal, Red Cap Goblin, Karen Carpenter, Jonathan McIntosh, Master Poe, Sun Hero, Terry Doherty, Norman Smith, Erica Swenson Elliott, Linda Toscano, and Copernicus. Thank you so much for your generous super chats.
Wow, incredible. Thank you so much. And to all our supporters and the people who subscribe to the show to keep us going, thank you. It allows us to do the things that we do. And we will be back with you next week. We have some exciting interviews coming up. And some great X series episodes returning in October. Just remarkable things coming up for you this fall. So make sure you stay tuned. If you're not already, make sure you sign up for a free newsletter that keeps us all in touch. And it allows you to get past what I think is a real heavy duty blanket of censorship. And I've been noticing the censorship on all the good stuff.
Right. You said this week that you noticed the numbers actually decline in real time. Your views?
Yes. Yeah. This is a weird thing I noticed, but it's been happening with a number of channels. And it feels to me like there's something geared up so that for next year and for election talk and things like that, if you put election in the title, you're in trouble. Well, I guess I'm in trouble. let me do a couple of shout outs here for everyone. Awesome show, Craig Cartier. Thank you very much. And of course, Miss Olivia, you did fantastic as usual. Ideas Room was on fire. Red Cap Goblin. Excellent. Lily B, thank you very much. Olivia Wings Girl, she's out there. And here, how do you do that? That's Apotheum. Transposition. Great show. Deplatformed. Exactly. Boy, do we know that feeling. Yeah, and there's a whole thing on Grush. I'll get to in some kind of side special report, but boy, is that op exploding. It was all lies, lies, lies. Yeah. Caritas Taro, Najat Madri. Fantastic to see you. Hang in there. I like that. Wayne Reed, Karen Carpenter, Don Nui, Gigi for president. Now you're talking. Gigi Young. Extraordinary work that Gigi's doing. Gigi's going to come back shortly. Can't wait. There's so much to get into. And go to Gigi Young on YouTube for extraordinary work she's been doing. And of course, Corey Anderson, thank you very much. SSP. Yeah, SSP, the real deal, becomes very important now. Gary McKinnon, all that comes back with a vengeance for sure.
I guess DJ Beto said that Gary McKinnon just came out and did an interview just in the last couple days. That's interesting.
Yeah, I think we've talked in the background before. He may come on here. Look what happened to Italy. Yeah. Just inflation. Okay. Fantastic. Amaretto Eyes. Great to have you here. Lorna. Corky Goss. Let me see here. What else we got? Bob Marley. NASA has told me lies playing as you're walking in the door. Yeah, there was some fake out that they were at the space station and it was hoaxed video. It was a weird thing that NASA put out.
can I throw some out there about NASA?
Our Friday dose of sanity. Thank you, Daniel Olivia. Danielle Jorgensen, it's great to have you here. Yes, of course.
Scarlet Fire said that in fiscal year 2023, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration had 32.41 billion divided by 52 equals 632 million a week for NASA.
That was their budget?
That's the fiscal year 2023 budget.
No, that doesn't sound right.
It doesn't, that's for sure. But Scarlet Fire is usually right.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Very interesting, huh? What I heard was that they were cutting into NASA's budget, but that's very interesting because maybe things are changed in a hurry. Mr. Wolf, we shall overcome tyranny. There you go. We shall overcome. Elijah Schweitzer, GG. Bravo, great show. It's great to have you. Lou, fantastic. Guitar Malade. Try to get everyone a thanks from Illinois. There we go. Diana. I know Kate's out there. It's great to see you. Fantastic. What a great ideas room tonight. Great questions. Man, that question section was off the charts. We will be back with you next week. Let me see. I'm going to find a good one. Expeditionary Force. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Chuck Bam. Yeah. Katie Cat. The Shining, says Jay Cameron. Whoa, think about that. We will see you all next week and have a fantastic weekend. And make sure that you don't forget, never let it be forgot, that once there was Camelot, and there can be again. Mm-hmm. And of course, Miss Olivia, it says end broadcast, but...
Never really ends.
It never really ends. Actually, it says end stream now, but... Somehow end broadcast was more dramatic.
Better.
Have a great night, everyone. Thank you very much for being with us. Great to be with you, and watch the skies.
God bless.